You are listening to the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
With minimal artistic license, we go homophonic on the play in music. Rider on the Storm. The Doors version, of course. As we welcome Ben Ryder, right? We've done Paperback Ryder before. Nice pull, Jose. Author of Astro Ball, senior Sports Illustrated writer. And let me blend the two. At the end of the decade lists, one of the 10 most memorable baseball SI covers of the decade, the Astro cover. They're going to win the World Series in 2017. Ben Ryder's story going behind the curtain with the Astros. We're going to need a bigger curtain for the sequel. As Ben joins us, last time we visited, World Series time, the Brandon Taubman fiasco. Oh, by the way, and the World Series. Oh, the size of the tangled web now. Ben, appreciate the time. And for openers, just your general reaction to everything that has exploded. A baseball atomic bomb. Bombs, plural, over the last 48 hours here.
Well, Charlie, I was thinking back to when I was sitting next to you in studio in October, as you mentioned, and all that has changed in 3 months. And I actually thought of a quote from Sig Meidel, of course, Jeff Luno's former top data man, now with the Orioles. Sig said, "The future is a lot weirder than we can imagine. If you think you've got it figured out, just wait. You'll be wrong." Now, that is certainly true with what has transpired here over the last 3 months.
All right, within the span of roughly an hour, a bomb number one. I mean, we've been waiting. We knew the punishment was going to be harsh, and I think most reasonable people think warranted. But your reaction to first Rob Manfred lowering that boom, and then Jim Crane, roughly an hour later, firing both Jeff Luno and A.J. Hinch?
I suppose I wasn't necessarily surprised by either. Given what the investigation uncovered, given the fact that clearly the Astros organization had broken the rules that Manfred had instituted late in 2017 regarding the use of video. My question, though, and my question remains, you know, how far is this going to go? You know, justice is only justice if it's applied equally. Now, obviously, the Astros have gotten their justice, but my colleague Tom Verducci at Sports Illustrated reported that someone close to the investigation told him that the Astros had provided evidence of 8 other teams having done similar activities related to using video to pick signs. Nobody believes that the extent of this activity in 2017-2018 doesn't extend far past that. Now, the question is, how much appetite does baseball have to actually investigate all of these leads? The answer is probably not much. You know, baseball's motivation is most likely to try to limit the damage to the Astros and maybe the Red Sox now. Possibly it will extend to the Mets. We'll see. But that's baseball's motivation, to say we have identified the problem and we have punished the culprits.
Yeah, and you throw in the resources, the expenses to go down every rabbit hole, and then you're shining light on it every time. Oh, we got another team. They're going to have to do purging and so forth. As for Crane firing Luno and Hinch, do you think he really had much of a choice? Do you think Major League Baseball may have indicated, we're not making a decision, but it's probably one you need to make? Do you think it was Crane unilaterally? And how do you think he emerges from this?
I think that Jim Crane probably did not have that much of a choice. Particularly as far as Hinch, I think. I mean, to have an interim manager for a whole year and what should be a very good year, despite all of this, for the Houston Astros on the field, and then go back to Hinch probably wouldn't practically work. Maybe it would have worked in the front office. But look, Jim Crane's motivation is to protect his investments, to protect the bottom line, to try to reestablish the franchise's good standing in MLB and in the city. Clearly it's an economic decision, and you know, that was the way that it fell for him, that they were better off, that he was better off that the business was better off going on without them, despite their significant contributions to what it had become since the beginning of the 2010s.
Talking with Ben Ryder, Sports Illustrated senior writer and author of Astro Ball, where he went so deep into the Astros' inner workings. On Luno and Hinch, I find it at least interesting. I'm not drawing any major inferences from it. But Ben, A.J. Hinch, after being fired, put out his statement through the Astros. Jeff Luno put out his statement through the Wall Street Journal, where one of his brothers works, or his brother works. I don't know if he has more than one. Look, Major League Baseball's findings was that Luno was not completely ignorant. Mention of a couple of emails. I guess he could have thought of them as spam or deleted them, right? There are things we'll never, ever truly know. What is your sense or your belief on the plausibility of Jeff Luno? I knew nothing because if I did, I would have ended it.
I think it's possible, you know? I mean, Jeff Luno gets a lot of emails. Who knows if he reads all of them? Like, the specifics of exactly what those communications were were very unclear in the report. I think, if anything, Major League Baseball was punishing him for kind of lack of oversight, right? Saying, you should have known about this. You should have taken a lot of care to forward these new regulations to the appropriate people in the clubhouse, starting with A.J. Hinch, and you didn't. And, of course, there's that paragraph criticizing the culture right. of the organization, which was not necessarily substantiated in the report itself, but that's really what he was punished for, saying when you're in this sort of leadership position and, you know, this stuff happens, the buck stops with you. And that's why Jeff Luno's out of a job. Now, I don't think it's necessarily unfair. I think it's correct that a leader should, have that sort of oversight of his culture, should care about those things, but that didn't happen in this case. And what could reasonably, to some people, seem like a pretty small mistake on Jeff Luno's part has turned into this result.
Yeah, if this were the NCAA, we'd hear the phrase lack of institutional control.
Exactly.
As for A.J. Hinch, and you never truly know people unless you truly know people, and then sometimes you still don't truly know people. But I think his core integrity is good. But, you know, he basically kept serving drinks to the drunk guy at the bar. You know, if he bashed the monitor a time or two or whatever he did, what do you make of his apology? And do you think he's managing a Major League Baseball team in 2021?
I don't know about 2021. I think that if anybody from this returns to where they were before after rehabilitation, it will be A.J. Hinch. He's a man of integrity. He is. When the Astros went through their difficult moments, especially recently, he was generally the one who stood up and provided the moral clarity that the public wanted, right? Whether it was the Taubman incident or whatever else. I think he's a good man, a good baseball man, who had a moment of weakness, or at least a stretch of weakness related to this particular topic. Now, where did this come from, right? Did it come from the fact that he felt that this was the sort of culture of the organization? You know, we're gonna move fast, we're gonna break stuff, we're gonna take risks, we're gonna live on the edge. Maybe he didn't feel powerful enough to put a stop to it. Did it come from the fact that he didn't want to shut down something that was being done by guys with real sway in his clubhouse, Alex Cora, you know, the veteran Carlos Beltran? Maybe he didn't feel like he had the power to do that. Maybe he thought that that would fracture the clubhouse. I don't know. But look, even very good people can make mistakes like this and have moments or stretches of genuine weakness. That's what happened to A.J. Hinch, in my opinion.
I'm not saying I don't think it played a material role in the punishment and so forth, but at least a piece in the jigsaw puzzle. On some level, Ben, right? Jealousy through all the Astros' success. There's a lot of schadenfreude along with absolute outrage. The way the Astros have gone about their business, the organizational arrogance and so forth. So do you think that Luno will have a tough time regaining an executive position somewhere? Or once he's served his time, you know, this last chapter notwithstanding, pretty good results track record, and all it takes is one organization to say, man, we're in bad shape, and this guy has a track record.
I think he could. I think it's very likely he'll be able to come back after a certain period of time. I mean, look, last summer I spent 7 days for an SI story with Alex Rodriguez, right? If anybody ever in the history of baseball seemed like he was excommunicated, it was A-Rod. And yet he's back just a few years later as almost the face of the game, right? Like, people can come back, especially if they're as capable as people like Alex Rodriguez and Jeff Luhnow. And don't forget, you know, Jeff Luhnow's tree, executive tree, extends throughout baseball now. You've got David Stearns, his former assistant GM in Milwaukee, Mike Elias in Baltimore. Yeah, there would be some political issues for any of those guys to bring Jeff aboard as an advisor, special assistant, what have you. But it's certainly possible that they might. As to the other part of your question, yes, I do think on some level the way that the Astros operated ever since Luhnow came in made them a target, right? Like, they were brash. They live by almost like the Facebook credo, right? Like, move fast and break things. They made themselves a target in part because they were so good. Now, this doesn't mean that they've been treated unfairly here. I'm not sure they have been, pending what happens next, if other teams found to have offended incur similar penalties. But it certainly opened them up to, you know, a disgruntled, perhaps, ex-employee like Mike Fiers blowing the lid off this. Now, I don't think that Mike Fiers shouldn't have done that, but that's just the reality. And it also kind of, you know, stacked the deck against them as far as public sentiment and these penalties.
What do you think of zero punishment for players? Was it the most practicable way to go about it? And how curious are you as to how many Astros speak to this? You know, a lot of righteous indignation and moralizing and how dare you ever question us? And to me, it's the biggest stain on Hinch when he went there at the World Series. Oh, how could anyone dare suggest this? It's preposterous and so on and so forth, when obviously you're just lying through your teeth in doing so.
Right. I mean, I guess technically there's no evidence that it was actually happening during 2019.
Right.
In part because baseball had belatedly put in the security to its video feeds that it should have when it opened up this Pandora's box of replay review and everything a few years before. But yeah, I mean, the silence from the Astros players so far has been pretty deafening, right? For guys who are outspoken, you know, and usually in a very positive way, I think that the public is eager to hear from Alex Bregman and Carlos Correa and Justin Verlander and all these players who clearly knew about this, and some of them participated in it without a doubt. I would love to hear from them. As far as the leagues not punishing them, I think it was a very practical decision as far as the Major League Baseball Players Association, the union, and also as far as I said, kind of limiting the damage. You know, once you start punishing players for this, and perhaps, you know, there's more articles about other teams and other players who knew about this, how far is this going to spread? You're going to suspend dozens and dozens and dozens of players? That's certainly not a Major League Baseball's interest either.
Ben, in terms of going forward, you look at the core talent, as long as Verlander and Greinke don't break down or suddenly fall over the hill. But I mean, the everyday lineup, the organizational depth's not what it used to be. But this still seems to be a tip-top job, and subject to where Jim Crane is willing to pay. And you're getting a lot of rebate money from the Hinch and Luhnow contracts above and beyond the $5 million fine. You think the long-term ramifications for the Astros are relatively minimal?
Yes and no. I think it's a real loss, obviously, especially when you combine it with all the other losses the front office has sustained over the recent years, not just the guys who have become GMs, but, you know, people from the coaching staff.
The cumulative brain drain.
Yeah, there has been, and this continues it. That's why I think it's likely that as far as the leadership, Jim Crane will seek to promote from the inside, and there's a few obvious candidates, Joe Espada, the bench coach, who was not around in 2017, as well as Pete Cutillo, who's actually, I think, the only front office executive who was there before Luhnow. I mean, he was an intern before Luhnow arrived, but he's the one who stayed all the way through. I think those two guys are probably the favorites to take those positions. And I think despite all this, you know, it's important to have some continuity because, you know, the process, which is what I explore so deeply in my book, Astro Ball, is what's gotten them this far. And certainly you want to continue some parts of it and continue to learn from that process, even as you learn from perhaps the significantly negative parts of it, which have just been unveiled.
Well, I think all of this makes Astro Ball a renewable, fascinating read. And should you choose to do an addendum, man, do you have material.
Yeah, you know, the coda to the book, if there is one, certainly got a lot more interesting. And as I said, in a way that nobody could have ever anticipated.
Ben Ryder, senior writer, Sports Illustrated, and author of Astro Ball, available hardcover, paperback. Man, Ben, as always, appreciate your generosity with the time, and we'll talk again, maybe some actual baseball or whatever events dictate as we move forward. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie.